Jump shot. It's good. Zach Randolph does it again. 3-point game. They've got to go for three now. No choice. Conley for three. Ties it up.
First team all defense. First team all defense.
Here's Gasol from outside. Tony Allen. Shot clock at four. Randolph puts it up. Puts it in.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, we're your hosts, Mark King, Sean Cullum. What's going on, man?
Hey, man. Afternoon, morning to you. Hope all's well. Good to get back going, back in the saddle and going.
Yeah, it's been a little bit since we recorded. That's okay, though. We just moseying along here as quarantine is happening still. I haven't left the house. It feels like forever, but, you know, whatever. Just getting some stuff done around the house, house projects that have been getting put off that now apparently have tons of time to do. So, you know, here we are.
And unfortunately, on my end, I don't have the creativity to do trick shots, but, you know, I give you heck for that. I've kind of missed them a little bit. It's been kind of weird without the trick shots on a daily basis.
Don't worry. I'm going to work on a few today. I think the rain has been the one that's holding me up. It was raining throughout the weekend, and I wasn't about to go outside and do trick shots in the rain, but you know, I think today I'm probably going to try to get a few in so I can disperse those the next few days. We'll see. But, it keeps the mind from getting too bored, I guess. The kids are always bored, too, so it's fun for them. But either way, let's talk a little bit of Grizzlies today. Let's start. We're gonna probably start and pick up where we're talking about our draft or redraft in the Grizzlies. Talk about that a little bit. Talk about the Last Dance. That's obviously the only bit of sports we've had that's happened over the last few weeks. So that'll be fun to talk about the Last Dance and kind of get our thoughts on that and just kind of see where we're at on things and, you know, talk a little bit of sports, whatever little bit that we have, whatever little grasp that we can get. That's kind of the best we can do right now.
Well, and of course, you know, the thing is that they're starting to be some efforts put in place, you know, for the season to perhaps get going. Now, you know, we don't know, you know, the details or when that might be, but it does look like, you know, here, you know, next week, there could be workouts starting and things such as that. And you saw it in baseball too, the NFL draft was this past week. So it definitely is not, you know, obviously the level of sports that we hope for, but there are indications that, you know, there are rumblings, there are obviously plans in the future. There's energy there to get it back. The only thing, and I'll say this till all this is over, I just don't want them to sacrifice safety. Don't sacrifice missing sports or safety for missing sports. That's absolutely my
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I mean, there is, in terms of the COVID-19 and what has happened in our country and even locally is, you know, we're all sick of quarantine, but at the same time, there has to be a plan. You know, it's got to be a good plan to where, you know, I know that a lot of people are itching to get back to work and itching to get back out and do things. And trust me, I am too. I have three kids at home and I do not want to be here with them sometimes. So like, trust me, I get it. But at the same time, you know, you put yourself in a situation where if it were you, and your family that had to possibly be in the hospital because of something they didn't have a cure to. So you kind of have to put yourself in other people's shoes and you know, it is about, it's more of a community process where, you know, we all have to try to pull together for the betterment of the community and the good for people, you know? And so I think you're right. Let's not sacrifice safety just for sports. I mean, it's great and I want to have them back, but at the same time, it doesn't mean that we should be sacrificing other people's lives. So I do want to start off. I just noticed I was checking our Twitter feed from the Lockdown Grizzlies, and we did have a question for what was probably a Monday mailbag, but they came in a few days late. I didn't see it. So let's talk about that question since we don't have any other ones to talk about. This is from @grappling Glia. I'm sorry if I pronounced that wrong. That's probably incorrect. With Wiseman sliding down the draft board, should the Grizzlies trade back into a draft for him? Gives Ja great pick and roll lob threat. He can anchor the defense. He can play next to Jaren Jackson Jr. or Clark. Makes up for Jaren Jackson Jr.'s poor rebounding. Thoughts? I'll kind of answer this, and I'll let you answer this the same way. For me, as far as a pick and roll threat or a lob threat, he already has Jaren Jackson Jr. and Brandon Clark to do that for him. So I would say I'm not as high on James Wiseman as most people, probably in this city. And I don't know what makes him think he's going to be a good rebounder. I know that on paper he should be, but I'm going to be real honest with you. James Wiseman has never played anybody super good. Like, the only time he played anybody in college and he didn't play that well. I mean, James Wiseman has always been the predominantly outclassed best player on the floor. In high school, he didn't have to work for rebounds. He didn't even have to do really anything to be great. He was just, you know, he was awesome because everybody else was not as great as everybody. You know, and there's a matchup problem there. And so once you get into the league, there's a big difference between playing against high schoolers and playing against even the American Athletic Conference, both the few games he did play, and in the NBA. I mean, there is a huge difference. So there is no thought process to what I think I thought that James Wiseman was going to be a fantastic rebounder in the league. I don't know if he's going to be a good player. I mean, I think he's going to be. All the signs say he should be, but, you know, you should never really know. So I would say you take who you get. I mean, you take what you can get. And if they don't, they're not going to have a pick anyway, so it's not going to matter. But you take what you can get, and you take the best player available, and then you move on. I'm not in the terms of unless it's like a really good player, I'm not in the business of like trading up or down to get a specific person to fit to make a fit, if that makes sense. Now, you can trade up or down to get a specific player that is really awesome. But in terms of a specific fit to make it, you know, make it work, I'm a fan of just taking the best player available, and then you just go from there and figure it out later.
I think that Wiseman has a high ceiling, but in a limited role in the NBA. He's a rim runner, kind of to the extent of Jonas Valanciunas, but I don't see Wiseman having the same rebounding ability as Jonas Valanciunas. I think Wiseman could develop into an effective offensive player with moves. I think that he's a good blocker. He can certainly run the court well. But the thing about it is this, is that Wiseman, based off his strengths, he is not as versatile as Brandon Clark and Jaren Jackson Jr. And when you already combine Jonas Valanciunas, Wiseman is not a fit. The strength of the Grizzlies right now is their post. Clark, Jaren Jackson, and Valanciunas. Now, don't get me wrong, John Moran's the best player, but three out of arguably your four best players are already post players. You're talking about drafting Wiseman to play what? 10 to 15 minutes a game. You hope that over the next 2 years, he plays a role similar to what Dwight Howard plays for the Lakers. And obviously, he's probably not going to reach that level. That's not something you trade up for to get in the NBA draft. You don't do business based off nostalgia. You do business based off what makes sense and adding talent that can, you know, elevate a certain weakness of your team. James Wiseman, in my opinion, is just overkill. The Grizzlies should have no intentions of trying to trade back into the draft to get him. They just don't have a place for him. Wiseman needs to go to a contender who has the need for a big body that would allow for him to grow and learn on the job. That's not the Grizzlies. I don't think Wiseman is a bad player. I think he could turn into a very good player. I don't think he'll be, you know, just an all-time player. But it's just not there with the Grizzlies. The structure of their team, he's not a fit.
And be honest with you, they don't have a pick anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. All this is kind of for naught. But at the same time, like I mentioned, they already have. If you're looking for like rim runner and like people catching lobs, I would point you to Brandon Clark. You know, see Brandon Clark on the roster, Jaren Jackson Jr., that type of thing. I would not, you know. Again, I'm with you. I think James is going to be a good player. I don't think he's going to be a superstar. That's just not who. I just don't see it. And you know, everybody can have their own opinion about different players. And I always go back to the NBA is so much different than college basketball. It's so much different. That's why you see some players just get it that are picked later in the draft, and some players that are picked early in the draft just don't. And it's never pans out for some people. So let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. We'll talk about our redraft of Locked On Grizzlies coming up next. Welcome back to the show, talking Grizzlies redraft in this segment with my co-host, Sean Coleman. We've only gotten a few picks in, but we only talked about the first pick last time we had this had a podcast. So let's talk about where we're at on the redraft. And who was picked second?
Pick second was Paul Gasol, obviously, and I do apologize. Both me and you have been busy with things, so I'm going to pick it up either today or tomorrow. But Paul Gasol was the second pick, and obviously, I mean that's the right choice. You know, I really do think that Gasol probably should be the number one pick, but you know, we've never seen anything like Ja Morant, and you know, with recency bias, it makes sense he was it. But Pau Gasol, you know, was the number one pick.
Number two pick. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, number two pick. That makes sense. You know, Pau Gasol is a good player. And then the number three pick was Zach Randolph. And I expected Zach Randolph to be number two, but that's just because I like Zach Randolph. But I understand Pau Gasol going second. And I was actually surprised that he did. I mean, I was surprised just because I don't think a lot of people, you saw Ja Morant go first. And I think that's a lot of people just, like you mentioned, like recency bias. And I didn't think people were going to remember how good Powell was, you know, like nowadays, like right now, like people that are younger and maybe didn't watch the Grizzlies, or maybe they just, you know, they only watched the Grizzlies in the core four, all those type of things. I don't know if they would have remembered how good Pau Gasol was. So I thought that was interesting that he did go second.
I was not surprised that Zach Randolph went third, but in the context of this practice, he would not be in my top five. He would not be a top five pick for me. I kind of, when we did the draft, I kind of mentioned, you know, what if you were starting a franchise today? And don't get me wrong, I'm not downplaying Zach Randolph and his style of Zach Randolph and his effectiveness. He deserved to be an all-star. His peak was absolutely, you know, wonderful to see. But the thing that I'll say is this, is that, you know, I put other options out there, put Mike Conley and I put Kyle Lowry. You know, the next ones that'll be in there probably will be Sharif Abdul-Rahim to Jaren Jackson Jr. I could, and Marc Gasol, obviously. I strongly feel that I can make a case. I would take all five of those players over Zach Randolph in terms of today's NBA. The reason why is because you've got the two point guards. Abdul-Rahim and Jaren Jackson Jr. are two small forward, power forward, 3-4. They can play the wing, down low, whatever it may be, but they're more versatile. They're more, you know, they have a deeper scoring repertoire, more athletic than Randolph. And, of course, Gasol, with his ability to play defense and shoot the three, in today's game, I think all five of those guys are more valuable. So I do agree that, you know, it wasn't surprising that Zach Randolph was drafted third. My pick would have been Marc Gasol, and then after that, it would have been Kyle Lowry and then Mike Conley. Again, we're drafting based off Grizzly players that have played a significant part of their career with the Grizzlies, but looking at their career overall, and I just think that Marc Gasol and Kyle Lowry and a few others would translate better to today's game.
I think I would always pick. I'm always going to pick Zach Randolph in the top five. I just think he's probably one of the best Grizzly players ever. I mean, there is no substitute for what he was able to do on, you know, rebounding, just going and getting you buckets. I mean, having a guy like that in a post position that can just get you buckets anytime is a fun to watch, and it's not easily, you know, repeatable. It's hard for those guys to be superstars in the league because a lot of times you just don't have the ball in the hand. So I would always pick Zach Randolph top five. What I think I'm not going to be surprised though if Marc Gasol doesn't get picked in the next few picks. Like if I don't know what your next poll is who's going to include. I think Mark's probably going to be in there, but it would not surprise me if he falls out of the top five just because I think the way people feel about him, I just don't see it happening.
And the whole idea behind the and I can understand that. Again, I think that Marc Gasol, the Gasol brothers, I'm not trying to tell folks how to be a fan. I'm not trying to tell
you should. Folks how to be. That's what we're here to do.
But the thing that I'm getting at is that I just the Gasol style of the Gasol brothers style of playing was not as cherishable, not something that Memphis folks from Memphis would relate to, like a Zach Randolph or Tony Allen. And that's perfectly fine. I just find it unfortunate that they were as underrated as they were while they were in Memphis. But you know, that's another story for another time. I do agree with you. I don't know if Gasol is going to be there. I think he will be picked in the top five, but let's get to the whole idea of what this is. I know that we've kind of gotten off track here with it, but the goal of this is that in a future episode or two, we have reached out to a few folks. I know I have. And the goal is that what we're going to do is we're going to have a mock draft, maybe, you know, 20 to 25 picks, in which Mark and I and a few other folks will be on here. And what we will do is we will each basically represent a team, and we'll pick a starting five from a pool of Grizzlies players and just get an idea of where Grizzlies players, we've done a couple of greatest Grizzlies tournaments, you know, around, you know, the Grizzlies fans and, you know, different sites. But the whole idea is just to get an idea of, you know, what careers stand out. And then from there, me and Mark will draft our own teams from a, you know, pool of, you know, maybe 20 picks or so, but just an interesting, creative way of looking at how the Grizzlies in the past would translate to today's game and where present Grizzlies may stand up against some of the franchise greats.
That's quarantine content for you guys. You know, that's what this is, man. We're doing, obviously it's going to be fun. Quality. Exactly. It's going to be fun though. I'm personally looking forward to it, because anytime I get to compete against somebody, even if it's in a fake draft that doesn't matter, against people who don't play for the Grizzlies anymore, I'm all for it. So if you're not already following the show, go follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Grizz. That's where we're doing the polls at. So go over there, follow the show, so you can go vote in the polls that are coming up today, tomorrow, throughout the rest of the week on what Grizzly goes next. Let's take another quick break. We'll come back. We're going to talk about the Last Dance next, because that is the only sports, feels like the only sports things that are happening in basketball right now. So we're going to talk about that and what we think about the last two episodes. From an early morning breakfast burrito to a 12-pack of beers while you watch the game, sometimes you just need what you need delivered fast. And that's where Postmate comes in. It's been a huge help for me right now during this quarantine. Postmates has been excellent. With three kids, it's hard to get out. Even just to get them in the car on a normal basis, I do not like it. It is difficult. So Postmates has come through clutch and in this time of quarantine. I love it. I love being able to just go on the app, order from any local restaurant, and just be able to not have to do anything other than pick up my food. And it's been fantastic through this time. For a limited time, though, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code LOCKEDONNBA. That's code LOCKEDONNBA for $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. Welcome back to the show. Let's talk about the Last Dance from this past weekend. What are your initial thoughts on the past two episodes?
It was fun. I'm glad that they focused on that. They basically in the era, you know, the big three concept was post the Jordan era, but I'm glad that, you know, they focused on Michael through all the first four episodes, but they also gave a lot of content and a lot of history on Pippen and Rodman and Jackson. And it was fun to see. It's crazy. You sit here and think that this is a faraway world and all that different stuff, but then you realize this was 20 years ago, 20 to 25 years ago. And most of us lived our lives through it. But it's really, really cool to get the in-depth look at it. But the first thing that jumps out to me is that I'm really, really thankful that we get an inside look to some of the other personalities outside of just Jordan.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. Just in terms of like the style of play, you know, back then. And I don't know if I honestly, like, I hear a lot of people say how like, oh, the NBA was so much better back then. And, you know, today's players wouldn't survive. And then also, they're, you know, you saw the Jordan rules and just like out there murdering Michael Jordan. And like, I don't know if I even like that. I mean, it's just like, it's not even good basketball. It's just beating the shit out of people. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I get the sentiment of, you know, you got to be tough and all this other stuff, but these aren't even like, this isn't even, they're just, again, they're just beating the crap out of people. I don't know if I love it or not. I'm kind of undecided. I think you would see a lot of bad basketball if it were officiated in today's times. That's for sure. I thought it was interesting to see how they played, though. I mean, again, you know, I was, you know, in 87, I was 2 years old. So I don't have a whole lot of memory from that season. And in the 90, I was 5 years old. So it's cool to watch all this footage again, with, you know, knowing what you know now about basketball and kind of having this refresher of everything. So from my point of view, I like watching that part of it just because, again, in the early 90s, I was 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. So I didn't really have a whole lot of reference for basketball, for Michael Jordan and how good he was. And so to see the evolution of Michael Jordan from give me the ball to let's give other people the ball. And he kind of make the making of Scottie Pippen, I thought was really incredible. And the fact that Scottie Pippen still had a shitty contract is also really incredible.
And that's the thing about it is that, you know, another thing that jumped out to me is, you know, we start going through the 97-98 season, seeing some of these scores. You know, I know we're backtracking to years, but the main focus is that 97-98 season. And even 20 years ago, you look at those scores, like the Bulls went through, I think, like the first 13 or 14 games, maybe scoring above 100 points once or twice. You look at some of those scores, I'm sitting here honestly thinking that those are the end of the third quarter scores, and they're not, they're finals. And that was just something that jumped out to me. But, you know, the other thing that really jumped out to me, kind of the subplot of this week, and I think that they purposefully did this, was the Detroit Pistons. The Detroit Pistons were, if you wanted a real life example of what the Monstars were in Space Jam, by the way, if you ever say Space Jam is a bad movie, we will debate.
Space Jam's an awesome movie. Whoever says that is just dumb.
But if you ever wanted a real-life example of what the Monstars are in against the Looney Tunes in that movie, it was the Detroit Pistons. And the thing about the Pistons, a couple of things before we get to the main point of bringing them up concerning the Grizzlies, is that I would not call them admirable. Those guys were assholes, but they were effective assholes. That was their whole point. They wanted to beat you up. Physically beat you down. They wanted to eliminate your will. And the reason why I'm so glad that they were as featured as they were was because of all the rivalries the Jordan Bulls teams had with the Supersonics and, you know, all that, nothing compared, in my opinion, to the Pistons for one reason and one reason only. Over experiencing, enduring, and eventually overcoming the Pistons, in my opinion, is what evolved Jordan's game to where he could lead a team to a title. Yep. Him getting past the Pistons finally in that 90-91 season, it was just, you know, that was the finals that year. The Pistons had come off 2 championships. The Bulls beat them. The Lakers didn't really have a shot. So that's the reason why I'm so glad that the Pistons were featured. And it was an awesome thing, you know, to get some, you know, detailed behind, you know, the scenes perspective on that rivalry.
And can we just say how awesome and how happy I am they decided to air that episode unedited, like not bleep out any words, you know, like, because that would have been a terrible episode if they'd had taken out all the F words. If they had taken out my favorite line from the episode from Horace Grant, straight up bitches. Like, I'm just happy they decided to do that just because I think you lose a lot from the way those guys speak and talk about each other. You know, that's just kind of, that's how they talk about each other in the court too. Like that kind of stuff happens all the time. And that's just how the culture is. And I love the fact that they decided to air that, that episode that way. That to me was the best part about it for sure. And you're right. The Pistons, they were a-holes. Like that's just what they were. Like, don't get me wrong, they're a good team, but that is a good representation of the Monstars from Space Jam. That's a very good point. And you know, it did take Jordan, like I said, it took Jordan from a me first guy to a pass, you know, not a pass first, but an understanding that if he's the only one doing things, a lot of things LeBron had early in his career, if he's the only one doing anything, defenses are going to be able to zero in on that. And you're great, but you can't outplay four guys or five, you know, three guys all the time. Like that's, it's, you know, almost nearly impossible. And even though he did it at some points, you know, winning championships, you have to have help and you have to have other people around you that can knock down shots when you need to, or when they're doubling, you got to have guys you can pass it to. And having Jordan go from a guy that for him understanding that and seeing that process kind of almost real time playing out in that documentary was pretty incredible.
And the other thing that I'll say is this, is that getting back obviously to the purpose of our show is another thing that stood out to me about the Pistons was that, you know, there's a lot of similarities between them and the Grizzlies during the grit and grind era. Now, let's go ahead and set a couple of, you know, understandable things. The Grizzlies were not as good as the Pistons. The Grizzlies did not have as good of a talent as the Pistons. But in terms of finding success in a way that, you know, went against the grain, the Grizzlies, through defense, through, you know, physical domination in the post, things such as that, you know, I really think what comes down to it is that, you know, you have to focus on the fact that these were cultures that were basically organic, born and bred in markets that were not mainstream. And because of that, I'm not going to say that the Pistons part was admired, but I do think that the Grizzlies were admired. They were really a big part of a big part of the NBA at the first part of last decade. And because of that, I think that the Grizzlies are grit and grind era is going to be remembered for decades. But just two cultures that were created that were successful, that found success in a way that not the rest of the NBA did, and they were just they were effective. The Grizzlies may have never won a title, but you just had a group of guys who came together to create something much bigger than what a lot of people anticipated, same as the Pistons. And the one big difference in the Grizzlies' favor is that they're admired. A lot of people love Mike Conley, you know, love the way Zach Randolph played. With the Pistons, again, they just all thought they were assholes. That's another thing that stood out to me. There's a lot of similarities between the Grizzlies and the Pistons as being one of the more memorable non-mainstream NBA cultures over the past 30 years.
Oh, absolutely. I think people, when you talk about those core four teams, especially some of the early ones, like that's what people remember. You know, they remember the fights, they remember the bruising down low, they remember how tough it was to score on those guys because you were never going to get anything easy. You know, and that's what, you know, that's obviously why a lot of Memphians, a lot of people just love those teams, because it was just it probably reminded people a lot of old, you know, the older school basketball that they almost kind
agreed.
Of, you know, almost like a reminiscence of like, this is these guys are from a different time. And so, you know, that's why a lot of people love them. That's why it just make it so difficult for you to score on all the time. And if you came down the paint, there was, you know, Marc Gasol and Zach Randolph closing the gaps. I mean, there was just a lot of things. There was just a lot of things happening on those teams with Tony and Zach and Mark and Mike. And there's people just generally, I think, admire and generally respect.
If you ever want to see as good of an example, as close of an example as to, you know, who was Tony Allen before Tony Allen? It was Dennis Rodman. Now, again, don't get me wrong. Tony Allen was not as talented as Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman, in my opinion, was a very effective player throughout his career. Obviously, eventually developed into a Hall of Famer. But during his time with Detroit, just that pest, that ultimate defender, that guy who would do anything to win, make the plays, was not any type of polished offensive player, but would still effectively, based off chaotic movement, could make shots unexpectedly, get a big offensive rebound, whatever. But I will say, if you want an example, if you want to see another team that had an effective player such as Tony West for the Grizzlies, it was Dennis Rodman with the Pistons.
I think it's a pretty good comparison. I like it. You know what? I think that's probably good. That's probably it for us today. Unless you got anything else. We'll be back. Back in a few days with another episode. We'll talk more about the Grizzlies draft. We'll give you guys some more insight on when we're going to do our kind of draft episodes as well.
hope that y'all all have a great week. And, you know, like I say, just the one thing that I will say, if you listen to the show and, you know, you're just craving sports as much as possible, I talked with a few people after the NFL draft this past week. The mindset that I have is this: the longer that we can go being okay with sports at the limited basis that it is right now, the quicker we're going to get back to some sort of normalcy, you know, in the future. So just bear with it, have fun with it. Like I say, there's energy and there's rumors about these leagues starting. So hopefully everybody will be back going soon. You know, obviously in a way, as we mentioned earlier, to keep everybody safe.
Yeah. Go get some trick shots. Have fun out there. Make sure you go subscribe to Locked On Grizzlies in your podcast feed so you don't miss any of the episodes that we're going to put out. Make sure you go follow the show at Locked On Grizz so you can also vote in those episodes. We'll see you guys next time. Cool, man.
All right, dude. I got to get back to work. Did you pick Joshua Kelly?
Yeah.
Nice pick.
Yeah, I thought so. I needed a running back to develop, so we'll see.
Yeah, I'm not just saying that. He has a decent path to being a productive runner over the next 2 years if he can beat out Justin Jackson. So,
yeah, and that's not hard to do. So
exactly. All right, man.
I'll talk to you later.
Whenever you want to record, let me know. Hope all's well.
All right, man. Talk to you later.